When Baby first came out, I was in a room full of big wigs one day. And I told everybody in that room, I said, hey man, Baby's gonna be bigger than Future. And when I tell you them folks looked at me and told me to shut up, I ain't lying. But look at Baby, 10 billion streams later, look at Baby.
I'm music journalist and slacker Christina Lee.
I'm writer, researcher, it's summertime, so I ain't doing no professor shit. Dr. Regina Bradley, and this is
Bottom of the Map.
Southern hip hop explored, explained, and exalted, Debbie.
I love it. How are you?
I'm good. How you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited for today's episode.
Yeah, because you're going to have to school me on some shit. Because for the people, we talking about, you know, the idea of a hit, what makes a hit in Southern hip hop and just music in general, I guess, in 2021. And Dr. Bradley, this is not her ministry, because Dr. Bradley thinks about the hit probably stops 2008.
Listen, I appear on All Songs Considered every week on NPR. I'm on their New Music Friday segment. And even then, I still don't feel that well equipped to even talk about this conversation because music arrives at the speed of the internet these days.
Ooh, the speed of the internet.
Like, it is crazy having to catch up not only with what the new artists are putting out, but with what the established artists are putting out. And then you have the deluxe edition reissues. Like, it just keeps going on and on and on.
So wait, so a deluxe edition, is that different from like a remix? Because I have questions.
Okay.
I have questions.
Okay. So the deluxe edition, like, has existed long before this era, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but the only difference was that they were typically timed to like an album anniversary, and you just got a couple of extra songs there. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Happy anniversary to Usher's Confessions. I don't know.
Perfection.
Seriously.
I'm just saying. Okay, I'm sorry.
But this time around, especially during the pandemic, what we saw happen was that deluxe editions meant a whole ass other disc uploaded to streaming services, and it would sometimes be uploaded as quickly as a few weeks after the album. So even before you got to listen to Lil Baby's My Turn, before you had a chance to listen to it, there was a whole other disc with songs like Social Distancing, and that's where you heard the bigger picture.
So like, is the deluxe, like, is it kind of like the B-sides? Like, once upon a time, them things called the B-sides where it didn't make like the mainstream album?
You know, you could probably argue that, but I think what it typically is, it's kind of like retweeting yourself, in that the first time around, if an album doesn't catch on, an artist feels like, okay, let me re-up this album one more time. That's what happened with the Baby's Blame It On Baby, where you, at the top of the pandemic, you had Blame It On Baby. And then as Rockstar is taking off, he decides to add more songs to Blame It On Baby to not mess with the stats, to basically juice it up. And so the album, instead of going platinum, it goes like super platinum or something like that. It's hella confusing.
Yeah, because I'm like looking, and it's like, it just feels like it's like wheels are trying to turn and there's no W-40. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm stuck, because like, when I think about a hit, you know what I'm saying? And this is me on the porch, folks. You know what I mean? I stay on the porch a lot when we have these more recent conversations, but it's all good. It's all good. At least I don't shake my fist at the people walking by. Because when I think about a hit, I'm like, you know, I guess I'm thinking about it in radio terms, where it's like, you know, when the song first come on, and you know, if y'all feel my pain, please holler at us on social media, especially on, you know, the Instagram, because a hit for me is, it was a song that when it first came out, it was new. It only played like once every 12, 15 hours. So you'll be at school like, you know what? They better not play my goddamn song. I know that. And then you get home and you turn on the radio and they're like, that was, and you be all mad and you cuss out the radio. You know what I'm saying? Or it's like, by the time that folks pick up on it and they want more folks to listen, which is, you know, possibly just part of the radio complex. You know what I'm saying? And folks are like, I want to hear so-and-so. Like, let me give you an example. All right, so one of my favorite songs as a teenager was Atlanta group Co-Ed, Roll With Me, right? Like, the first time I heard Roll With Me, I was like, I too want to go to Parisians. I'm gonna take you to Parisian, buy all those things you want.
I'll take you shopping out of season. Buy you summer clothes in a bow. We can get freaky on the highway. On the way to Lexmark. We'll have a pleasant conversation.
But then, you know, they added this, at, you know, unknown dude named T.I. to the remix.
What it is, shouting.
And that was my first introduction to Tip.
T.I.P. and Co-Ed. Co-Ed. On the remix.
What you say? On the bowl, me? Huh? What? I say I'm riding through Atlanta in a band being Co-Ed. Getting Mr. Slowhead or door to blow a flip of hand. That's a Moed. Say she wanna go somewhere, but we need to go in. First, we need another bagger, baby. What a store at? Cranberry band with the lands in the gossip. Say I'm blowing with a broad drinking hand at the bottle. We both put you down with the stands in the bottle. We're bad from the Dolce and Gabbana. That's the problem.
I wanna take you to Parisian.
But I was like, every time it would come on, it was either like going off, and the radio doc jockey was like, that was Roll With Me. No, it was not. It is. Let it come back on. It needs to make my mixtape. Right? So then it came to the point where everybody kept like requesting Roll. So like every other song was, you know, Roll With Me or the Roll With Me remix. You know what I mean? So like when I think about a hit, it's that thing that you're continuously hearing, but it seems like radio today is not a hit if you're continuously hearing it. That's just part of the regular syndication. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. But we had a little help this week. We had a little help with this conversation. You know, the first time that you heard us in conversation with the legendary Professor Beehive ATL was in the Atlanta magazine 60 Voices of Atlanta, and we were talking about hip hop. So hopefully you cop that issue. If not, you can always Google that bit. But we were like, yo, we need to actually talk to folks who are, you know, besides you, who are on the ground, because Dr. Bradley is not. So
well, Beehive, I mean, he holds a really important position in this current climate, right? Because having had his post at Hot 107.9, he understands the radio machinations. He understands what radio's place was, because he wanted to be part of that, right? But now he's in a pretty unique position where he still has his pulse on the scene. And as you're going to hear and talk about, he has plaques as a direct result of his position. But now he's seeing this shift in not only radio's place, but how perhaps like social media has kind of maybe replaced radio's previous role as a tastemaker. So we thought it was super important to have him as part of the conversation, because we can sit here and speculate all we want, but we had an insider,
because Bottom got it like that. We have inside people and shit. Mm-hmm. So y'all check out this conversation with us at Beehive.
What's happening? Of course, you know it's your boy, Beehive Radio Shouty. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Hot 107.9 on the air personality. Clark Atlanta University, mass media arts professor, and also owner of High Time Media and CEO of one of the biggest podcast platforms in the South and one of the biggest in radio, period, point blank.
I'm going to come at you 100 with this, okay? My playlist stops at a particular time and date, because once I started working on the PhD, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't able to really indulge and engage in the culture and the music like I was when I was free. so I feel like this is more so of a opportunity to learn a little something, you know what I'm saying? In terms of, you know, how we think about it. Because when I think about a hit, of course, I'm thinking about something that played on the radio time in and time out, right? But it was also like what the purpose of the joint was for. You know what I mean? If it was a party record, I know I was going to hear this at the party. If this was a, you know, strip club joint, I'm going to hear it at the strip club. So can you just like start us off with, you know, how that idea of a hit has changed, especially over the last, you know what I mean, 10, 20 years? And what do you think has changed?
Regina, you know, that hit record back in the day, 9 times out of 10, sometimes you didn't even like that hit when you first heard it. You might have heard Juvenile, huh? And you're like, wait a minute, what is this? What is he talking about? But then after that song played 100,000 times throughout the year, you were like, you know what? I love this song. Who is Juvenile? I'm going to buy this 400 degrees. So back then, you know, you really had the power of the radio and mainstream media, which allowed people to kind of force feed hits into, you know, the community and stuff like that. Then when the advent of that internet and stuff like that, it kind of changed up a little bit because now everybody can choose what is a hit. So a hit really has to be a hit. Content has to be great right now in order for you to be able to compete against the whole world. So nowadays, a hit might be judged off of streams, but a song that might be a hit to us, okay, I got to go in a whole nother direction now.
Having worked in radio, do you remember the moment or even a particular song that indicated to you that something was shifting?
Party Like a Rock Star, The Shop Boys. Changed the whole sound of hip-hop at that time. They came in with that guitar sound, and then it was like about five other singles that were hits after that song that blew up that had the same guitar riffs and stuff like that. But that one hit kind of ushered in a whole new sound of hip-hop at that time. Now determining a hit will kind of be based off of a TikTok trend. So like with Young Thug Ski.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One for sure, you gon' need three promoters. Ooh. I got the body from Jim Ellis, but I had switched the motor. True. I got these badass bitch riding around this bitch named all the coders. Yeah. I just told her make a story. Yeah. I just bought all the Trojans. Yeah. 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 I told her stop my meat. Yeah. I told her stop telling that thing she seen and told her.
That ski challenge, that was a hit song. The issue is the life of the records is not as long as it used to be. So with the life of the records not being as long as it used to be, that's why they got to come with the deluxe to try to keep the party going just a little bit longer than it would have normally went back in the day when you could just go and say, okay, we dropped this one album, we're gonna drop single after single after single, but the people are eating up the content so fast now that you have to kind of come right back with more music to keep people engaged because another party is dropping content. See, there are no gatekeepers no more to slow down the production of music.
So break that down for us. Gatekeepers meaning what?
The gatekeepers would be a label, okay? You could be the most exceptional artist ever. You would go and be on a record label, and then guess what? Your album be done, and then it would sit on the shelf for a year, and then the album might not ever even come out. Well, guess what? With YouTube and with all of these streaming services, I can upload my own content and it comes out as frequently as I want it to. So no longer can I be silenced or can I be pushed to the back of the line. Because once I build that fan base, those people are coming to me directly. These folks nowadays aren't even as hard pressed to do radio as they used to be back in the day, simply because the following of the artist is a lot larger than the following of the radio station sometimes. So if the artist has 1 million Instagram followers, then why they gonna go to your radio station that only has 30,000 Instagram followers to reach your audience? Because obviously your audience is already in tune with what they got going on anyway. So they don't even feel the need to pursue the old stream with the old school ways of, you know, breaking the hit and stuff like that, because they're thinking to themselves, I already can interact with my audience at the drop of a hat. So personally, now I feel like the new age hit would be something that you would see going viral on TikTok. Viral hits, that's pretty much what we have now. But with the viral hits, they live and die. You know, the lifespan of a viral hit is not as long as a hit that Never Scared with Bone Crusher that we had to listen to for 2 years. We listened to that song for 2 years straight. Nowadays, you might get 2 months.
I'm curious to hear what you think Southern hip hop's role is in sort of accelerating, I guess, the life cycle of a hit. When we were talking about this episode, we were immediately thinking about Gucci's output, even from when he was in prison. We were thinking about Future's back-to-back number one albums, but then the fact that he had to still immediately follow that up with albums. I'm thinking in particular also about how when Lil Baby was coming up, Quality Control, his label, tasked him with releasing an album every quarter. So, I mean, those are just a couple examples, but I would love to hear from your vantage point what you think Southern hip hop's role is in all this, especially with how, let's be honest, how savvy they are with the TikToks and all that.
I'm going to have to take it all the way back to Master P, because he basically set the standard for, you know, putting out the music. So when P set up there and took over the whole shop and he said, okay, I'm dropping 20 albums in 1 year, he showed everybody how to make money with music. And that's what the issues are. A lot of people don't understand that the more music, people are going to stream the music regardless. So each stream counts for money going into the bank. So the more music that you put out, the more streams you're going to be able to access regardless. So now people take that same formula that Master P had, and then you saw Gucci do it with the mixtapes, then you saw Future do it with the mixtapes and the singles as well. But you can kind of apply that formula across the board in all entertainment, because think about it. Your favorite television shows, don't you want to see them year-round? Why would you want to see your favorite television show for one season, then you got to wait a whole nother year for Insecure to come back on? You got to wait a whole nother year for Power to come back on? Nobody feels like waiting a year between takes when it comes to this music. You want to hear it as much as you can get it. So while the iron is hot, you got to keep on dropping. In the South, with people having a situation to where they were being blocked out of those corporate rooms and stuff like that, they had no choice but to kind of drop that music, because a lot of the stuff was independent. So by you being independent, you have to make your money by moving those units, and you move as many units as you can. So if you drop a record, it sells 300,000 out the trunk, then it's like, okay, let's drop another independent record. We can still make the same money that we would have made if we was dropping one record on a major label and stuff like that. But up until today, if you're not dropping music, you're going to find yourself in the back of the pack. It's too much content coming at people every day. So you have to stay top of mind when it comes to being a content creator, being a musician and stuff like that. Because if you don't come right back with another hit, they're going to say your career is over. You don't even get long. You know, you have one hit. If that hit, David Banner said this in an interview we did a long time ago, you drop that one hit, you have like a good 6 months to come up with another hit. And if you don't come up with that next hit in the next 6 months, you can pretty much consider your career gone. And it's even faster now in this day and age. Once you get that challenge going, once that challenge gets gone, that song is on, and them songs are gone, and the kids are on to the next challenge, which is the new song. Hopefully, that next challenge is another song that you dropped.
So one of the things that you had me thinking about, two things. The first thing I was thinking about is, you know, our attention span is so much shorter now in a social media era. You know what I mean? Like, not only are the songs shorter, like 2.5 minutes, you know, if it goes over 2.5 minutes, folks are like, oh, are we doing an extended version? So I'm wondering, like, your thoughts about, and you know, you said how folks wasn't clamoring for radio, but one of the things I think that is interesting that I've been thinking about is how the music's being used in commercials, how it's being used, like, in the finals, for example. So like the NBA has taken like these snippets of songs that you probably wouldn't find on your own, puts it in your ear enough, you're just like, you know what, I'm actually going to sit down and listen to this. So I guess my question for you is, you know, we knew a hit in the early 2000s when it was something that we were singing years later. You know what I'm saying? What is it, you know, what is it about today's music that makes that more of a challenge? Like, there's, like, we don't necessarily hear people talking about, oh, you know, the song that came back out and whatever, unless you're talking about like a Future, for example. But I mean, like, for the most part, if there was a song that slapped and then the time kind of passed, we don't hear about them no more. And I'm just kind of curious, do you feel like that's the way that we consume music, or do you feel like that's just the way that it is what it is?
I think it's got a lot to do with the way we consume music, but a hit is still a hit. And I think we're going to all agree on this hit song that I'm about to hit y'all with right now. Roddy Ricch, The Box.
I'm a 2020 president candidate. I done put 100 bands on Zimmerman shit. I been moving real gangster, so that's why she pick a crit. Shawty call me Chris Paul, cause I pop my shit. Got it out the mud. There's nothing you could tell me. Yeah, when I had a job, South Street wealthy. Yeah, I had the coupe at the lot. Tony for a 12, fuck SWAT. Buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a leaf with the box. Had to put the stick in the box.
get lazy. I got the mojo deals, we been trapping like the 80s.
That song right there was a doggone hit. And the reason why I know it was a hit because I could not get enough of it every time it came on. It's one of those songs that could be on rotation on every station. You felt the same way to this day every time it comes on. So now I have to speak to the quality of the music that we're getting out here. Are people making hits? Or are these just records that are being put in front of us now? You see what I'm saying? Because a hit is a hit. I can't even get it out. You see what I'm saying? Tupac, Dear Mama. That was a hit.
And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And Mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you, sweet.
And Dear Mama.
Have we heard a hit record like Tupac's Dear Mama since Tupac's Dear Mama? No. They're not making that kind of quality music like they used to make back then that will actually stick with you throughout your life. See, artists from back in the day would make music that would ride for the rest of your life. You could go back and listen to forever. Outkast, Goody Mob, all of your favorite Southern legends and pioneers, those records last forever. These newer artists, they're making hits to try to make money. So they're just putting out content and they're doing it as a hustle. So when you got hustlers in here, see, I'm about to go on another tangent with it, and this is a crazy tangent, but this is just where the hip hop game has come to. You got hustlers and gangsters. You got more gangsters and hustlers in music than we do actual artists in music. You know who the artists are. Young Thug is an artist. You hear it in his music. And that's why he's been around for so long. He's pretty much leading the new school of artists by creating, you know, new sounds, new songs, new cadences, new flows, and bringing that to the game consistently over the years. But outside of Thug, there haven't been a lot of artists. There are a lot of good hustlers out here. There's a lot of good gangsters out here. But as far as just really creative artists, the creatives, their music lives a lot longer than the artists that are just coming in here trying to make a quick dollar because they saw their homeboy make some money.
That was the second thing I was going to ask is, what is the magic mix? Because the hits that we were talking about in the 90s and early 2000s are also classics. You know what I'm saying? So what's the distinction between a hit and a classic, but also what would a classic look like in today's music market?
You just snapped with that question right there, Regina.
I be trying. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Because I'm thinking to myself, have I heard The Box feels like it'd be a classic record? You know what? A classic, a hit, I'm gonna hit you with two of them. I'm gonna give you the classic and a hit. Okay. Mask Off was a hit for Future.
Mask on, fuck it, mask on. Mask on, fuck it, mask on.
But March Madness was the classic.
Expand on it.
Go ahead and drop the mic. Just be like, I have been Professor Beehive. Y'all have a good night.
Beehive, you got to expand on that. Go ahead.
Okay, it was the stuff that he talked about in the music. So with March Madness, it was kind of, oh, and I got another classic too on top of that. But March Madness, Future kind of spoke to the time. So when we think about records are supposed to be a recording of the actual time and period in which we're living at that time. So Mask Off, that was just a good ass song. But March Madness kind of spoke to what was going on. But then I'm gonna bring it even closer to now with Lil Baby. the bigger picture, when that track dropped, that was a track that kind of broke down exactly what was going on in America at that time. When we think about the bigger picture, we're talking about the pandemic that we were living in. We're talking about George Floyd passing and stuff like that. And that track basically embodied everything that we were going through back in 2020. So for me, when I think about classic records versus hit records, for Baby right there, the bigger picture, that was a classic record.
I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood know I try to keep peace. So it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
That song, that in particular song right there, was the one that made people look at Baby a little different and say, okay, we need to keep you here. You are here to stay. You're actually talking about something. This song will be relevant to this time. When somebody does a documentary on the coronavirus and the race riots of 2020, that song is going to get played in that documentary automatically, because it'll be a classic that captured the time and essence of everything that was going on at that time. And as an artist, see, that's what an artist does. He didn't make that song to make it a hit. He dropped that song in order to bring awareness and consciousness to the world and to his audience.
Hey, you guys, this is Tank of Tank and the Vengas, and you are listening to Bottom of the Map.
Being in Atlanta, it's very easy to take for granted how historically, radio has really sort of supported, you know, the artists, and in general has been an integral part of this ecosystem. When even compared to cities like Los Angeles, it seems like their music scene has a much harder time even getting played on their own radio stations. So I guess I just want to establish from your point of view, since you work in radio, how that has typically worked. How has Atlanta radio historically helped to bolster these hit makers and really support artists, even like a Young Thug? Like, I remember very clearly when Atlanta radio first started playing Young Thug, when I felt like they didn't have to support him at all.
A lot of times with these artists, they have such a high volume of street credibility and an audience. So it's starting in the club. So when it comes to radio, all of our DJs are club DJs as well. So if you're in the club and you're playing a Young Thug record and those kids are going crazy on that record, in order for you to be doing your job correctly, you have to come back to that radio station and tell the PD, hey man, every time you, first of all, we got these phones now. So now you can record the audience reaction to you playing that record, bring it right back to work, play it for your PD and say, this is the reaction of the youth to this new Young Thug record, or to this new Future record, or to this Baby record. And then once you do that, the PD has no choice but to go ahead and put that song into rotation if they want to keep their job and keep their station number one. Because as radio, it's our job to have a pulse of the community. We have to know exactly what it is that people are listening to on a regular basis and what it is that is new and cutting edge in order for us to be competitive in the market. Because especially in a place like Atlanta, we got like about a good 5 hip-hop stations that are playing hip-hop on a regular basis. So in order for you to be in the front of that pack, you need to be breaking records. You have to have your hands on the pulse, and you need to be playing what it is that people want to hear right now. But with TikTok and with all of the social medias moving so fast, radio has a hard time keeping up with these trends. So it's like you can't even get the record in quick enough before it's time to put another record in. You want to get the audience accustomed to hearing this record, but now it's time to put in another record because this artist dropped a new record, and then you only have enough room for a certain number of records each hour to play. So you got to play your recurrence, your power records, and your new music. So you can't just play new music all day on the radio, but you make sure that you hit it during the mix shows. You make sure that you hit it in the nighttime and stuff like that. But the role that radio has to play right now, and that is always played in Atlanta, was that we are part of the community.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I mean, like, we had this conversation previously, but I want to reemphasize this for this idea of a hit is the DJ plays such a significant role at one point, because that's how we were getting the new music. Like, I would get introduced to new music back in the day is through the 9 o'clock mix. It was like, okay, this is how, you know who this is, you know who this is. And then you'll get this new song come in. It might not be their instrumental per se, but just like, oh, what is that? You know, like, what is that? So I guess, you know, it's a two-part question, Professor. What role does the DJ play now in establishing a hit? You know what I mean? And the second part of that is, what role does the remix play? Or is the remix a dying breed in how we understand what a hit is? Because a remix at one point, man, you actually, you know, remix some shit. Now it's like folks put a remix out because they add a guest, which is cool. But like when I think of a remix, I'm expecting them to at least change the instrumental or something. But it's kind of like, nah, it's the exact same thing. We just added a special guest.
What happens now is sometimes these songs get hijacked and remixed. They might not even been supposed to been remixed. Somebody hear your hit and they'll say, let me hop on your hit to try to get me some more fame off of your hit right quick. So that's how some of these songs are getting remixed. And then also, you know, it's a favor for a favor. But a lot of times with these artists, once they get the buzzing, you don't need any cosigns. Once you got the people riding with you, you know, the DJ, so this is what's happening with the DJ, because I'm going to have to write a book to myself in this thing, Regina, and I want to call it Radio Ain't Dead, Y'all PD's Just Scared, okay? And this is the issue that we have with everything. The DJ has to be on Twitch. The DJ has to be on TikTok. The DJ has to go to where the artist is, where the audience is, to make their presence known as a record breaker. Because you can't do that stuff on the radio like you used to be able to do it. Those days are pretty much over with, to where you can get on the radio and just break records left and right. They don't really do that anymore. And then also, hell, some of the times, by the time you think you're breaking a record, it done been trending on TikTok for the last 2 months. So how can you even consider yourself a record breaker unless you're breaking it where the audience is at? So you have to really grab hold of that trend before it even gets massive and bring it to your platform before it grows legs. But, you know, something going viral on Instagram or social media is a lot quicker than radio, because guess what? You got to get in your car to hear the radio. We on our phones right now as we speak. So a song can get broken on the phone, new, and it's just not like that for radio. It's for all mass media. If I was a journalist, I'd be stressed out. If I was a news anchor, I'd be stressed out. Because guess what? Everybody had seen the George Floyd story before it even made it to CNN. So with that being said, it's the same thing with music. So if the news can't be cutting edge with breaking the news, then that means they have to be able to go and see what is going on early and diagnose whether this is a viral situation or not. Is this something that we need to be paying attention to? So it kind of expedites the whole movement of these records. So if you drop a record, the DJ has 5 to 10 days to figure out whether this is a hit record or a viral record so they can get in front of it. But if they don't get in front of that record, then the internet's gonna do its thing with it. So the one thing that I love about radio that always is gonna keep radio relevant is that for some reason, somebody can send you a record, they can text you a record, you can listen to it on YouTube, you can listen to it on your phone. But when you get in your car and you ride and you hear that record come on that radio, it just sounds a little better, it sounds a little bigger, and it makes you feel a certain type of way just because of the social proof that you get from listening to that record. So I thoroughly believe that, you know, DJs are still a necessity and they're still important. But the way that a DJ is curating the music is changing. They have to go the playlist route, okay? You have to create playlists on Spotify. You need to create playlists on Apple Music. You need to be creating your own playlist so that you can kind of curate the music for people. So they'll say, okay, I like the music that B-High listens to. He always has the new, hot, up-and-coming music on his playlist. So when I go to your playlist, you can still break music through those streaming services as well outside of radio, because radio ain't dead. It's just changed how it's done. We doing radio right now. Streaming is radio. Podcasting is radio. And until people start to understand the convergence of all of these technologies and just say it and admit it and say it as such, then we'll still have these different derivatives of people saying, I do television, I do radio, I'm a journalist. No, you can't do one of those things without the other no more. Them days are over with. If I'm on the radio, I got to do a podcast. A podcast, I'm doing it, it's visual, just like television. So now I done did a television show and a radio show. But guess what? I got to upload my podcast to different websites and platforms. So now I'm a blogger slash journalist, because I got to put a description up under my podcast that I just did the video for, that I did it for radio. So now you done did radio, television, and journalism all in the same time.
Oh my God, that conversation with B-High, first of all. so many gems.
Insert the air horns, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, B-High, for joining us for this conversation. We're so, so appreciative of his insight.
Appreciate you, Kenfolk. And we'll see y'all next week.
All right, Stephen, here we go. Bottom Up the Map is brought to you by BOTM Media, PRX, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Bottom Up the Map is produced by Floyd Hall, that's me, and edited by Stephen Key, aka Major Key. Executive producers, Regina N. Bradley, Floyd Hall, Stephen Key, and Christina Lee. Visit bottomofthemap.media for more information about the show and to subscribe to the newsletter. If you're on social media, connect with us at BOTMPod. Again, that's BOTMPod. This episode is now finished, but we are not done. We'll catch you next time. Take care.
What up, those sisters? I see y'all out there. Let's get it.